Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see everyone this morning. The choir asked for an update, and I have on good word that it's not snowing yet, so y'all will be relieved to know that. We are glad that you're here with us. You can see these front four pews here are, Craig, no slam against you, man, but usually there's teenagers behind them. They are with Jeff. They're down at Caswell. This is a spring break for the schools, and those of you that know Fort Caswell have been there, you know that they are having a great time. It doesn't matter the fact that it's raining and 40 degrees. They're still having a great time down there. So, but if you would, please remember them in your prayers as they travel back and forth and as they they're actually encountering a mission project today. They're active on a mission project today. So, please pray for them as they encounter other people and that God will use them in a way that they can't even imagine. So, please pray for them. All right. A couple other announcements. First of all, we have a community, we mentioned last week about a community day of prayer, and that is going to be Monday, April the 4th, which is a week from tomorrow. So we've got to get the word out. There'll be banners up starting tomorrow. To advertise it out front. We have flyers that are at the information center as well as the back. If you could take those, get the word out, give those to people that you know of in our community. The idea is that it's not just us that's involved here. I mean, we are a community of faith here in this area, and we want to give our people that live around us to come and to be a part of a prayer day from 8 o'clock in the morning to 8 o'clock at night. I've actually invited some area churches to participate in this, and whether they choose to or not, it's kind of up to them, but we have extended the invitation to that, and emails will be going out, and advertisements, press releases to the paper and TV, so we need your help, though. If you can take these flyers, they're at the information center and at the back, take those and help us get the word out about the Community Day of Prayer. Roger Jones, if you will be wheeling up. Next Sunday morning, during this service and the 9 o'clock service, we will be having the church conference that was postponed from a couple of weeks ago. We will be having it next Sunday morning, and we'll be talking about and voting on the proposed mission project, summer mission project to the eastern part of the state, and Roger's going to give us some updates on that.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Good morning. Very good. For those of you who don't know who I am, I'm Roger Jones. I was project manager for 22 years for our Mountain Outreach project, and now we are opening a new door in eastern North Carolina and at Grifton. Grifton Mission Outreach Ministries. And the reason we postponed last week was there were several questions that hadn't been answered to your satisfaction, and I think I have most of them resolved for today. Number one, a family has been identified, and it's a lady about 75 years old who we'll be building for if we go. She also qualifies for a $5,000 matching grant, which covers the HVAC and rough-end plumbing. That was one of the questions that was unanswered, how we were going to pay for that. Well, that's now taken care of. Number three, electrician to operate under a North Carolina license for Rick and his crew has been identified, and he is favorable towards it and supposed to let me know this week. I'm going by to see him. His name is Boyd Dixon down at Dunn. He's been to Kentucky with us. And regarding the water meter and sewer, the property we'll be building on already has water and sewer on it, so we won't have to deal with that issue. We had a question about whether our young people could work, and the answer is absolutely yes. We'll be delighted to have you. One of the other questions is, what would prevent them from selling the house? Well, there's a lien on the property for 7 years. And during that 7 years, if the house is sold, the money goes back to us and to Grifton Outreach Ministry. Barbie, one of the other questions people saying, what about if our building material costs are up 10% or so? Well, Barbie's taken our invoices from last year to Lowe's, and they're going to price it out and give us that information. And while she was there, we found out that there's a organization within their organization that if we order online as a nonprofit organization, we could get up to a 20% discount. So we're waiting for that to go through. I think that covers all the questions that we had. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Roger. And again, reminder, we'll have discussion next Sunday morning during the conference. So if you have other questions that you'd like from to find out the answers during the course of the week, feel free to call Roger or Barbie, and they'll get the answers for you. So I appreciate their hard work on that. I mentioned the fact that Jeff was out of town with the teenagers. Mary is actually with them. And so John Reese is back. John, good to have you back, buddy. Many of you know John. He was our interim minister of music, and we're delighted to have him back with us leading the choir today. I know that there are a lot of our families out because of spring break, but I know that there are also guests with us this morning. So our ushers are here. They're going to come to work their way down the aisle, and they're going to return back up the aisle. And as they do so, if you're a guest with us this morning, we don't want to embarrass you. We just want to let you know that we're glad that you're here with us, either here or in the balcony. And as they return back down the aisle, if you can just kind of catch their eye, just kind of wave at them just a little bit to where they can locate you. There's some information about College Park that I hope that you'll take an opportunity to read. And we're delighted that you're here. I want to say a word to our members. As well as our guests, there are pew pads there. Be sure and circulate those down the pew and sign those so we'll know that you've been here with us. I almost forgot that. I'm not used to doing this part of the service. So if you would sign up there on the pew pad, that way we'll know that you were with us and have contact information. Certainly there's a couple boxes to check if you'd like more information or like a visit from one of the ministerial staff. I'd be glad to do that if you'll just kind of indicate it there. I think that is all the announcements we have this morning, unless somebody raises their hand or stands up. Okay, I think we're good then. We're delighted that you're here and worship with us today. We have gathered to worship. There is a lot of things going on, a lot of distractions perhaps. You came in a little bit harried and a little bit, you know, uneasy about the schedule you're trying to maintain. We just want you to relax, to feel God's presence here this morning. He is here. He promised he would be here. He is here, and he will be guiding us and leading us in worship. So I want you to feel that peace as well as the edification that God gives us through his Spirit. I invite you to worship with us now.
Generations are saved with all of my heart and soul.
you pray with me? Gracious God, merciful God, forgiving God, God who loves us when we don't deserve it, we come to your throne and we ask for your presence to fill us, God, to guide us, Father, to help us learn what you have for us to learn today. God, as we sing praises to you, as we pray, as we hear scripture, Father, we pray that it would come alive in our own hearts, that we would truly be changed by the time we have to worship you. For it's in your Son's precious name that we pray. Amen. As we continue in the Lenten season, our journey to the cross, I want to invite you, if you have your Bible, to turn with me to Psalm 32. This will be a call to confession, as the psalmist writes, a psalm of David, Psalm 32, verses 1 through 6. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Surely when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. Would you pray with me the prayer of confession that's printed in your order of service? We'll pray this prayer responsibly. If you will read the dark print, I'll read the lighter print. We come to you, mighty God, and ask that you hear our pleas. We come with contrite hearts into your holy presence. It is by your grace that we are accepted in your sight. Forgive us for our frailties. Forgive us for our stubborn ways.
Receive us back into your loving kindness.
Take us back into your loving arms. Let us leave your presence knowing your forgiveness. Let us live our lives as forgiven people.
May we do and say, be pleasing in your sight, our God and Redeemer. Receive our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Hear these words of assurance, of pardon, from 2 Peter. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy.
I have had several people ask me if I've quit coming to College Park, but I want you to know that I have been going to the recreation service, and I find that that is a service that I get great blessings from, and I really appreciate College Park having that as part of our service. And if I didn't have my dog to go home and take care of, I would continue to come to the 11 o'clock service as well, but I have to go home and let the dog out. So that's why you haven't seen me at the 11 o'clock service. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Jesus, you give us your kingdom. You let us glorify in it and celebrate your earth. We thank you for rain and sunshine. We thank you especially for springtime. Jesus, I praise you that you've given us resources. You've enabled us to use our resources to further your kingdom here on earth. I pray that you'll bless our offerings. Let the church use them to do your good works. I pray that you will bless each family as they give their offering. Let them glorify and worship you as they give. Thank you, Jesus, for pouring out your blessings on us so that we can respond with grateful hearts, with a spirit of joy, and with true worship. It is in your name. that we pray. Amen.
Barbie mentioned the recreation service, and I've got to tell you the story this morning. Last week, remember we said that Satan's favorite word is later or tomorrow or something like that, and the idea is that he doesn't mind us having communication with God as long as we never get around to doing what it is that God's asked us to do. And as we were preparing for the service today, the theme was the art of acting intentionally. And we put a lot of thought and service into the recreation service as well as this one. And as we were going, the band was practicing. Kelly Matthews Silliman was in town with us, and we were trying to get some things together there. And on the last song that we were rehearsing, my bass drum pedal slipped. Some of you know I play drums in that early service, and a bass drum pedal slipped. And so we're 2 minutes from the start of that service, and I'm down there trying to get this pedal fixed. And, you know, the thought occurred to me and Jeremy, we're all just kind of, we have to laugh about it because it's like, well, obviously, you know, somebody doesn't want us to sing these songs this morning. I said, well, y'all knock yourself out because I'm not sure if I'm going to have a bass drum pedal. But, you know, we went ahead and started the service and it all worked out. It's amazing. It all worked out. I was able to kind of rig it to where we got through the service, and more repairs this week. But I thought at the time, God is really good. Sometimes he has to teach us it's not about us. Now, it's nice when he chooses to use us. I think it helps us to grow in the experiences we have. But this morning, I had just constant reminders, it's not about us. It's about him. It's what he desires. And the beauty of it is we kind of talk about the theme of love at last sight, of building relationships and working on relationships. It's a joy to see you this morning. To see you smiling, to see you ready to worship and to learn together. In that service this morning, we played a video, a dramatization, if you will, of the Father and the Son, the story that we have in Luke 15, which is often called the Prodigal Son, the story of the Prodigal Son. And I encourage you to go. It's a very powerful video. There's enough humor in there to kind of keep it moving, but it's a very powerful one. If you want to see that video, it will be showing. It'll be up by later on tonight. It'll be on our Recreation website, and that web address is www.re-creation.ws, as in Winston-Salem. So it's re-creation.ws. It is a powerful portrayal of the story that we're going to read right now. It comes from Luke chapter 15. And to set the stage, Jesus has been talking about a lot of things. He's been talking about the great banquet and giving some parallels there. He's talked about the cost of being a disciple. Then he talks about the parable of the lost sheep, which we're familiar with that story, the parable of the lost coin. And that leads him right into the parable of the lost son, or the parable of the prodigal son, as we sometimes rephrase. It begins in verse 11 of Luke chapter 15. I'll be reading through the end of that chapter. Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had and set out for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went, and he hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men." So he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son. He threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he went to one of the servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost, and now he's found." Last week we talked about the art of being all there. And I want to remind you, if you didn't pick up an orange bracelet, you can do so at the back or at the information center, to remind you that as you're interacting with your loved ones, to be all there, to be fully engaged, fully present in your relationships. And this week we're going to look at the art of being intentional in relationships. And the parable that we've just read in Luke 15 is just slam-packed with insight into relationships and reveals both the positive and the negative impact of intentionality in relationships. For the record, this son, this younger son, you talk about intentional. You know, this guy, he acted intentionally in the wrong way when he demanded his portion of the estate from his dad. You know, he thought he knew what he wanted, but the trouble is when he actually got it, he realized, I don't think I want this. It just didn't deliver what it promised. And sin never does. It never does. He acted intentionally in rebellion. Listen to his words, his demands. Father, give me my share. Wow. Now, according to Jewish law, it was perfectly legal for him to do this. I mean, he could approach his father at any time and receive his inheritance, and he could even sell it if he wanted to. But it really wasn't a kind thing to say. In that culture, basically what this son was saying to his father is, Dad, you're cramping my style. For the record, I just wish you were dead where I could get on with my life, so let's make it happen. That's the net effect in that society. That's the net effect of what he was saying. But the father, he didn't argue. He knew his boy. He probably thought, well, you know, the only way he's going to learn is to learn the hard way. So, all right, here you go. You can have it. Off you go. And so the boy left. He left home. The Bible said he had set off for a distant country. Understand, the distant country describes the condition of his heart. It wasn't just about his physical location. He left home. He dreamed of enjoying the freedom far away from his older brother, which we get an insight into the older brother, what kind of brother he was. He wanted away from his older brother. He wanted away from his dad. So he left. But life in the far country didn't really pan out to what he thought. It did not deliver what he expected, and it never does. His resources ran out. His friends ran out because his resources ran out. I have this image of the ship and the ship sinking and all the rats jumping out of it. That's probably what happened to this guy. The minute the cash ran out, the friends just bailed. And then a famine came. No money, no friends. He's hungry. And so it forced him to do what he never did at home. Get a job. Go to work. He had to go. If he wanted to eat, he had to go to work. You know, this scene is our Lord's way, I think, of emphasizing what sin really does in the lives of those who reject the Father, who reject the Father's will. You see, sin promises freedom, but it only gives slavery. Sin promises success, but ultimately it brings failure every time. Sin promises life, but Paul writes in Romans 6, the wages of sin is death. Yeah. The boy thought he was going off to find himself, but he got lost. You see, when God is left out of our lives, enjoyment becomes enslavement. You know, sometimes I meet people and they're so ashamed and they wonder if God could forgive them when they've made choices that messed up their lives and hurt so many other people. You see, it's one thing to be hurt by the mistakes of others. But when it's your own fault, how do you deal with that kind of guilt when you know it's your fault? I think a good start is to do what this fella did while he was there in the pig pen. You know, if you want to develop meaningful relationships or reconcile ruptured relationships, you need to act intentionally. And there's three suggestions for this that we can glean from our story. First of all, you have to evaluate the present. You have to know what's going on. Where are you? How did you get there? How did you get in this mess? Evaluate your troubled relationships honestly. Are they where you want them to be? If not, what are you going to do? Everyone struggles with relationships. It's just the nature of the brute. You know, if you have two or three or four or five relationships, welcome to life. You know, if you're struggling in those relationships, welcome to life. Sometimes our struggles are a result of what other people do to us. But many times, they're a result of what we've done. They're our fault. You know, and if it's ever going to improve, you have to evaluate where you are. And it's easy to see how much somebody else did. It's a little trickier to examine your own heart and say, God, I got to own up here. A lot of this is my own fault. This young man said, and you may have said at some point, it's all my fault. I messed up. My relationships are suffering. I don't know what to do. And the first place to start is to evaluate the present. It's not just a matter of where you've been. Where are you now? What's going on now? And if we'll do that, we can take an example from the young man in this story in verse 17. It says, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare, but I'm here starving to death? Key phrase in there. He came to his senses. Another version, translation says, he came to himself, which suggests that up to that point, maybe he really wasn't himself. You know, there is an insanity that sin brings that seems to paralyze the image of God within us and liberate the animal instead. There is that. And here's a guy who has broken the heart of his father. He's wasted his inheritance. And now he has nowhere to turn. His life, his relationships, everything's in the pig pen now. But he knew it was his own fault. The poor decisions he had made not only had hurt him, but it had affected the people that cared most about him. He was relationally, he was financially, emotionally broke. And I don't know if there's any of you here this morning that kind of feel like that's your story. If it is, hear these words from Proverbs chapter 20, verse 30. In the Good News translation, it says, sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways. Wow. I think the application of that is God can and will use failure to teach us what we refuse to learn in success. The saying is you learn a lot more from your failures than your success. This guy should have been a genius by the end of the story. Okay? He should have been. But the important thing is that he learned from his past. He didn't live in it. Talk about intentionality. He was determined in his own mind. He came to his senses and said, I'm going to return to my dad. His painful circumstances helped him to see his father in a new way. And that brought him hope. He said, look, I've seen my dad, and I know how good he is to our servants. Maybe he'll be willing to forgive his son. But if he had stopped there, the boy would have experienced only regret or remorse. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death. You see, when I act intentionally, I don't have to look back with regrets on what I could or should have would have done. I can even notice an attitude change. Look at how this boy's attitude changed. When he was, the story starts, he goes to the father and says, give me. As we'll see in just a minute when he approaches his father, second time he says, make me. Make me. See, once this young man took a look at where he was, he was honest about that. The second thing he did, the second part of acting intentionally, is to envision a future. Here's where I am. Here's where I want to be. You know, how am I going to get there? You know, true repentance involves the will as well as the mind and the emotion. He knew, I made a willful choice to end up here. Now I need to make a willful choice to get out of this mess. Verse 18 describes how he acted intentionally to restore his life, to restore his relationships. Look what he says in verse 18 and 19. I will arise and go to my father, and I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. He envisioned a future that required three simple steps of action. He did all three of them in verse 18. I will arise. I will go. I will say. You see, our intentions may be noble, but unless we act upon them, they can never in and of themselves bring about any permanent healing. You know, we need to envision a future for our relationships that will get them out of the pig pen. You know, I'm afraid that so many people are ditching relationships today that could not only be salvaged, but be completely transformed by the grace of God. You see, ultimately, that's what God did through Jesus. Jesus, through his act, reconciled us to the Father. He acted intentionally. We need to act intentionally. Evaluate the present. Envision a future. And then the third step, most important, can't leave it out. The third thing this young man did was initiate a plan of action. He not only had good intentions, he acted intentionally. Verse 20 says, so he got up and went to his father. It's as simple as that. Actually, no, it isn't. It's not. It's not a simple thing to do. It's hard work. But to act intentionally, I have to be gut level honest. I have to quit blaming other people and take personal responsibility. I can't just sit around and live in shame. I need to step up, evaluate the present, envision a future for it, and then initiate a plan of action. See, when this younger boy acted intentionally, his life was changed forever. Beyond his wildest great expectations. I love this part of the story. There was a gentleman in the late 80s, mid to late 80s, named Benny Hester. He was a contemporary Christian artist, and he wrote this song called When God Ran. If you listen to Christian music back then, you're probably familiar with the song. It's a beautiful picture, and these verses here describe it. Listen, beginning in verse 20. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to the servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and he's alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. But while the son was yet a ways off, you know what I learned from that verse? Daddy was watching for his boy. It didn't say while he was on the way to Barney, he happened to notice the sun on the horizon. While he was yet a ways off, his father saw him. Dad was waiting on him. He was expecting him to come back. And when he saw him coming, Scripture tells us he ran to him. Now, envision this. Here's a good Jewish patriarchal type figure, probably octogenarian, and he's probably got his long white hair and his robe on. If he wants to run to his son, what does he have to do? He's got to pull up the robe and run. I can see this elderly gentleman with his robe hiked up, just tearing it across the plain, white hair blowing behind him. And the son, in tears, running toward his dad. And when they met, what happened? The scripture tells us he hugged his son. He grabbed him and hugged him. Why? I think it's to keep his son from falling at his feet where he should have been and would have been if dad hadn't grabbed him. He grabbed him and held him up. And I could see the tears just flowing. He said, bring a robe. Let's put it on him. Robe, a symbol of royalty. It's something that royal people wore. He put a ring on his finger, sign of inheritance, that you're my boy, that you're still my son. He put sandals on his feet. Sandals separated the slaves from the free men. You're not a slave. You're my son. You still have a royal inheritance with me. That's what his dad did. The loving father received his son back, not as a servant, but as my boy. He's come home. But it wouldn't have happened without the intentionality of the son. Granted, he did not deserve the royal treatment he received, did he? No. But do we? What grace God extends to us when we totally and miserably fail Him. And the part that just stabs me in the heart is, do we have that same kind of grace for people who fail us? It would be a great story if it ended on that note. And it's still a great story. But there's these other verses. Verse 28 says, the older brother became angry and refused to go in. A little green monster raised its head, didn't it? The lesson here, I think, is that not everyone will respond well to your good intentions. Not everyone will celebrate when you return and seek to reconcile a broken relationship. So what do? How do you deal with that? Sometimes you have to leave it in God's hands. When you've done all that you're supposed to do, you have to leave it. That's what the younger son did. And daddy took care of it. But you notice, even in spite of the older brother's jealousy, still the celebration went on. Verse 32, but we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost. Now he's found. You see, if you want your closest relationships, if you want the broken relationships to go to another level and experience love at last sight, it will require intentionality. Don't wait around for the other person to act first. Take the initiative. Begin today. I challenge you to act on the good intentions. You say, well, I've been meaning to. Remember what Satan's favorite words are? Today is the day of salvation, is what God wants us to know. Not tomorrow. Not later. Act on those good intentions. If you have good intentions, your relationship's fantastic. Act upon them. That will deepen them. Be intentional. Initiate a plan of action and do your part and then leave the response up to God. I think we will be amazed at what He will do with us, through us. Amen? Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we thank You for the blessings of this day. God, we love You, and our heart's desire is to please You. But sometimes we get so wrapped up in stuff, we get wrapped up in schedules and messed up relationships that it can bring us down. And we pray now that You would give us the strength, the wisdom, to recognize where we are and to ask You for what You want from that relationship, and then to help us to initiate a plan to restore or to deepen existing relationships. God, we pray that as Your children, that You would continue to extend Your mercy and grace to us as You've promised You will, and that we in turn would be merciful and gracious to people who fail us. God, we love You and we thank You for the beauty of this day and the joy and the celebration of this hour of worship. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, you don't have a personal relationship with Him, our desire is for that you know Him, that you have a deep personal relationship with the God who created you and who loves you. I'll be here at the moment. We're going to stand and sing in just a moment, and John's going to come and lead us. And as we sing, if you would like to know Jesus personally, I'd be glad to share with you. Just come on down. I'll be glad to talk with you. Or if you want to call me during the course of this week, that's fine too. I'd be glad to talk with you then. If you're here and you say, Raymond, I hear you loud and clear, man. I know what you mean by the broken relationships or strained relationships, and God's been speaking to me this morning. If that's the case, you do business with Him there. Talk to Him in prayer. You're welcome to come kneel and pray here at the altar if you'd like to do that. If you're here this morning, you'd like to be a part of this fellowship, it's a great group of people. It really is. I can give you all kinds of testimonies. You can line up among yourselves and tell testimonies as well about the nurture and the care that this group offers. And if you'd like to be a member of this church, there are many ways that we receive members, and I'll be glad to talk with you about it. But whatever your decision is, take this time to do business with God, be honest and open with Him. Let's stand and sing together. Great is Thy faithfulness, O God. following the benediction, I hope that you will greet one another, welcome one another, encourage one another, give them a hug, let them know you'll be thinking about them, praying for them this week. Invite you to be in prayer for our community day of prayer. And if you have contacts in the media, certainly feel free to take a flyer and get the word out about that. Because we want to join together, join our hearts in praying for one another. Would you pray with me? Gracious Father, we thank you for this day, the blessings of the day, the warm spirit that we feel here in this place. Father, walk with us this week. Help us to be your children, faithful and true. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.